Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. Today's date is the 29th of Safar, 1443. And today our topic is Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh. Listeners can send your queries to 084-786-3132. If you're in a foreign country, you will dial +278-4786-3132. We have our Honorable Mufti A.K. Sapir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Maulana Zahid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahab, as we know, the topic is Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi. So can Mufti Sahab please tell us, when was Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi born and when did he pass away?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Last week we started the series. Last week we discussed Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, and we will go according to the chronological table. Hence today we discuss Imam Malik rahimahullah. His full name is Malik bin Anas bin Malik bin Abi Amir, and then in front it will be Al-Asbahi Al-Madani. Why Asbahi? Asbah is a tribe from Yemen, and therefore they were called, so his forefathers hailed from Yemen. And Madani, because he was born in Medina Munawwara, and he settled there and stayed there his entire life. So that is why we call him Malik, and Malik bin Anas bin Malik bin Abi Amir al-Asbahi al-Madani. His kunya, and remember his ecdoman, is Abu Abdullah. And his title is Imam Dar al-Hijra, the Imam of Medina Munawwara. So that is what we know of him. Secondly, we should also know about his mother. Remember, it is mentioned in Siru A'lam in Nubala that his mother's name is Aliya binti Shariq bin Abdurrahman al-Azdiya. So remember Aliya, what it means to be sublime, to be lofty and exalted. So good name, mashallah, that is the name of Imam Malik rahimahullah's mother, honorable mother. In the forefathers of Imam Malik rahimahullah, who is the person that embraced Islam and is considered a Sahabi and so forth and so on. So remember that some ulama have written that he is, you know, Abu Amir. They say that he in Islam, that then in front, that whether he's Sahabi or not Sahabi, that Abu Amir, there's difference of opinion. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah and them said that he's not a Sahabi. But if you look at other scholars, you must remember Allama Suyuti rahimahullah and Qazi Ayaz rahimahullah, they said he's a Sahabi, and so much so Qazi Ayaz al-Maliki, who the author who wrote Al-Shifa, he said huwa sahabiyun jaleelun shaheed al-maghaziya kullaha khala badr. So he was participating in all the battles, and beside Badr that took place in the second year of the Hijrah. Likewise, Allama Suyuti rahimahullah in his commentary Tanwirul Hawalik, remember in there he has written that this Abu Amir, that he was, remember, a Sahabi and so forth. So there is a difference of opinion on that. So we have discussed his name, his ecdoman, his title regarding his father, parents, the original tribe they were and so forth. So Imam Malik rahimahullah, about him before his birth also, there was a karamat. Karamat was this: he stayed in the womb of his mother for very, very long time. Some ulama say he stayed for 2 years, some said more, some said less, and so forth. So normally we know that the woman gives birth after 8 months, 9 months, and so. But he stayed for 2 years, subhanallah. And remember, his birth took place in the year 93. And that is the rajih qawl, that is the preferred. Some other dates are mentioned, but remember that his famous student Yahya ibn Bukayr, rahimahullah, used to say, that Imam Malik used to say, "Wulid to sanata thalasin wa tis'een." So therefore, the year 93 will be the one that is correct, and so forth. That's the year. Regarding his death of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he remained ill for 22 days, 3 weeks, and he was sahib firaj, bedridden. And in the year 179, so born in 93 and passed away in 179, so we can work it out ourselves. So he was his age at the time when he passed away. So you work it out, 179, so that will be at 93. 3 years there, so 79, and 7 years there, so mashallah, that 86 years plus minus was his life here on this earth. And he passed away in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, and it was towards the end of Safar he fell ill and so forth, and is buried there in Baqi. And lo and behold, in the ending of his life, now his last stages, he's reading La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and he read the verse Lillahi al-amru min qablu wa min ba'd, that everything is in the hands and power of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So this is this great giant we must remember, that is Imam Malik rahimahullah. And he was then buried there, mashallah, in Madinah Munawwara in Baqi. And that is how we come to know about his birth, we come to know about his death, and his personal details as well.
Mufti Sahib, who was Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi's famous students?
So before we come to his students, you must go to his teachers. So Imam Malik rahimahullah, when he was born in Madinah Munawwara, so that was a markaz of knowledge, mashallah. And you see that at the age of 10, so he already went to Imam al-Qurra and started learning by him, that is Nafi bin Abdul Rahman. And he already learned from him. So we must remember that. And then he went to study by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu's khash shagir, his special student. And the special student of Imam of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was Nafi'. So that was also his teachers. And then subhanallah, when we see that Imam Malik rahimahullah, he went to study by so many different teachers. And his famous teacher is Rabi'atul Ra'i. So that is in Abdul Rahman bin Hurmuz was his teacher. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was his teacher. The giants, they were his teachers. And he stayed by Abdul Rahman bin Hurmuz for a long, long period, and so forth and so on. So remember that Imam Malik rahimahullah, when he used to, teach, we'll come to that just now. But I want to mention one thing here, which many a time, even in our Darul Ulums, is very sad but true. What is true, we have to speak, that if you ask the final year student what we call Dawratul Hadith, so many of them will not know that what is the greatest chain of Hadith, the Silsilatul Zahab, the golden chain. So remember, we go to Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith, and that is Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, and we ask Imam Bukhari that you are the master of Hadith, you the Imam of Hadith, which is the best sanad, the best chain, silsilatul zahab. He said, Malik an-Nafi an Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu ma qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine. So that is Imam Malik's caliber, his rank, his status. When Malik narrates a hadith from Nafi, Nafi stayed by Abdullah ibn Umar for 25-30 years. He was a slave, and he set him free. He said, go. He said, no, I don't go. I'm staying here by you. This is what Islam did. It elevated the rank and status of the slaves and made them. He became Mawla. Mawla means that he was freed. He was a slave and then liberated. And then he mastered Hadith. And he stayed by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. So Malik is a student. student of Nafi. Nafi is the student of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Umar, the student of the master Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus becomes silsilatu zahab, the golden chain. So that is what we should understand. Thereafter, we see his students. Students are thousands of students, we must remember. But I just give you Imam Malik's famous student, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. If you know, next week, inshallah, we'll discuss about Imam Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i's halat and condition is such, at the age of 7, he became a hafiz of Quran. At the age of 10, he by-hearted and memorized Mu'ta Malik. And now, remember that these are the words of Imam Shafi'i regarding his honorable teacher. He say, Malik Ustazi, that he's my teacher. And Ja'altuhu bayna labayni wa bayna Allahi hujja. I have made him between me and Almighty Allah a proof and evidence. Allah will ask me, from where did you get all this knowledge, O Shafi'i? I will say, this person, yeah, my muhsin, my great teacher, my greatest teacher. And wa huwa amannu alayya, he's the person who did the greatest favors to me. Subhanallah. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was very poor. His father passed away, remember, when he was still very, very young, a team, you know. His mother migrated with him to Medina, from Gaza, from Palestine, to Makkah Mukarramah. That is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Then he went to Medina. He stayed there, learned. And he didn't have so smart clothes and all that. Imam Malik rahimahullah, every day he used to wear new kurta. People ask him that Malik was very rich, the giant. He used to give it out. He said, ta'ziman wa takriman lil hadith sharif. Out of respect for the honor of Nabi alayhi salatu salam's hadith, put the best itar and perfume, put on the imama and the turban, the best, and then give it out to his beloved students. Then Imam Shafi'i says, huwa najmun saqib. He is the shining, glittering star. That is Imam Malik rahimahullah. So imagine, if you just take this one sentence of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, a glowing tribute to his honorable teacher. If somebody has to ask me that today, so today I spoke to Hazrat Mufti Sahib this morning, mashallah, Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haq Sahib. So we will say very similar words. Remember that the ihsan, we have 1,000 teachers, alhamdulillah, but one will stand out, you must remember. For his, my honorable teacher, Hafiz Ibrahim Limalia, Hafizahullah, and then in kitabs and hadith and fiqh and tafsir and all. So, because till now, remember, we still benefit, and inshallah, we'll continue benefiting. So, that is what Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah had to say of Imam Malik rahimahullah. And I told you that Rabi'atul Ra'i. So, Rabi'atul Ra'i, you must remember, is they were that person who was a master of Qiyas. So he was called Rabi'a. Qiyas means analogy. So that is why he was called Rabi'a, Rabi'atul Ra'i, and so forth. So he, Imam Malik rahimahullah, is teaching, you must remember. And subhanallah, he wrote great, great works. You must remember, the most famous is Muwatta Imam Malik, and so forth. So people used to come to him and used to ask him maslas and so forth. So he used to tell the people that who are the Madani people, those who are here, call them first, and then the outsiders, call them, let them come. So the people would ask, but why? He say, Ashabi Jiranu Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the neighbors of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore I give them preference. So that is how you must remember this. Before teaching hadith, daily he would take a ghusl and a bath, he would wear the best clothes, and then he used to come and teach and so forth, and then they used to apply the loban and the bakhur and so forth, and all this, and then thousands of students. Now imagine that, how he would be, you must remember, a giant. Somebody asked him, O Malik, how come you didn't take hadith from Amr bin Dinar? Amr bin Dinar was a big muhaddis and scholar of that time. So he said that when I went to him to go learn hadith, so they were now, like, you know, teaching hadith all day. Some students are standing, he's standing, and so forth. So I consider that to be disrespectful, Imam Malik says. When we teach hadith, we must show the utmost reverence and respect. So therefore, I didn't go and learn by him. He went to go and take hadith and learn hadith, but he saw this, and then he walked away. So this is the muhaddisin. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi, wa ma saqata man saqata illa bi su'il adabi. How we lack this today. You will never be successful until and unless you learn the quality of adab and respect. Ma faza man faza illa bil adabi, wa ma saqata man saqata illa bi su'il adabi. Be honest today that we teach hadith and with our students we learn hadith. How many a time we are teaching or learning hadith, we don't even have wudu. So imagine that. So how can we get the barakah and the blessing and the nur of hadith? So these are all lessons for us to learn. Remember that. So this was Imam Malik rahimahullah, that when you study, one day he was teaching hadith, you must remember, and you know, like a scorpion or something, you understand, stung him, and you must remember his face and everything was changing, but you must remember that he never stopped. You must remember this teaching, and he's continued. Ulama have written 16 times the scorpion stung him. So whether it's one or two or what, you must remember. So his student Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah asked, so they said that I still said teaching, although the face was changed, the color was changed, out of respect for the hadith of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want all these things here, you might start thinking it's fairy tales. Can go open Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Muhammad Muhammad Zakaria Nawarallahu Marqadahu, his work, remember on what time of Malik, and that is Ojazul Masalik, and in the beginning he got the Muqaddama. I remember when I used to teach in Darul Uloom Newcastle, started in 73, our first batch in the history of South Africa 83. So I used to teach Muatta Malik, Muatta Muhammad, and Sunan Nasai. Alhamdulillah. So I used to refer to Ojazul Masalik abundantly. So you will find so many great, great things of Imam Malik rahimahullah there. Do we know who's Malik? Imam Malik rahimahullah is that personality, that master of fiqh, of jurisprudence, of hadith. His love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love for Medina Munawwara. He states himself, what does he say? He says, Musanna bin Sa'id says, Sami'tu Malikan yakul, I heard Imam Malik saying, rahimahullah, ma bittu laylatan illa ra'aytu fiha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every night I used to see Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his Mubarak countenance in my dream every night in Medina. So it means after he started teaching and so forth and so on. So can we imagine this? So these were the Rijal, these were the Imams and so forth and so on. And therefore there's a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, and remember in Kitabul Ilm, and we need to be honest, sometimes we are so biased and prejudiced, that is not permissible in Islam. We need to be honest of these issues. Regarding Imam Abu Hanifa, regarding Imam Shafi'i, regarding Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, there is no sahih hadith. You must remember that. Authentic hadith, there isn't. There's we make gold mall and make the, that's a different thing. But clear cut sahih hadith, you won't find. But for Imam Malik, you will find Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith. You must remember, mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, and I'm giving you, you must remember the chapter Kitabul Ilm. La yadribunna nas, the people will travel, akbad al ibil, meaning on the camel and so forth, fi talabil ilm, in acquiring knowledge and so forth, fala yajiduna aliman, they will not find an alim, a'alam min alimil Medina, then the scholar, the alim of Medina Munawwara. And who is that? That is Imam Malik rahimahullah. If you go and see Tirmidhi Sharif, Hadith commentary and so forth, you will find majority of the Muhaddisin agree that this was Imam Malik rahimahullah. So therefore, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah used to say, Imam Malik was such a genius, I never saw a person responding to questions so quickly like Imam Malik rahimahullah. So you must remember, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah used to say, huwa najmun saqib, as I told you before. So many giants have praised him. So that is Imam Malik. We should know about him and his contribution to Deenul Islam. His love for Medina Munawwara was so intense, he never left Medina Munawwara from the time of birth right till the time of death, except once, and that was to perform a Hajj. Hajj became compulsory, he went for Hajj and came back. Can we imagine? So Medina to Makkah is not so far. He could have gone, yeah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu performed 60 Hajj. He performed 1,000 Umrahs. So you must remember that, hey, Hajja sittina marra wa a'taqa alfa abdin wa atamara alfa marra. So people were going before him so many times for Hajj and Umrah and all that. 60 Hajj and 1,000 Umrahs and liberated 1,000 slaves, Abdullah ibn Umar. And I just told you just now, the silsilatu zahab, the golden chain, Malik An-Nafi and Ibn Umar. So all that was in front, but his extreme love for Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we must remember that they are love for one another, for Medina Munawwara. It is written in the Halat, you must remember, and you know, if you go and see, then you will find this in Allama Kawthari's kitab as well. So one day, there in Medina Munawwara, Imam Abu Hanifa, he performed 55 Hajj. So he used to go to Medina Munawwara often when he comes there for Hajj, obviously. And then he and Imam Malik, they had mutual bilateral discussion. They started at night, you must remember that. So after Isha, and continued till Fajr time. Whole night. And not like me and you. 1 hour we'll talk of knowledge and 2 hours talk idhar udhar ki baat hai, talk about this and that. No, everything, Quran, Hadith, fiqh, and you know, all this type of things. So that was what we call, you must remember, the giants of their time.
Alhamdulillah, we return back to this program. And the next question, Mufti Sarp, is what was the usul, the principles and the methodology of the Malik Madhab?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Every one of them had, you must remember, their own methodology, and therefore you will find differences among the scholars and so forth and so on. So number one is that Imam Malik rahimahullah would accept everything of Quran Sharif, obviously. Thereafter he would accept, you must remember, the Ahadith Mubarakah, and thereafter you must remember the Ijma and the consensus of Sahaba and scholars and so forth, and thereafter was Qiyas. So these four you will find everybody really accepts. But beside this, there are others. Now one he accepts that no one else among the schools accept. It's called Amalu Ahlil Madina, Ta'amulu Ahlil Madina. So you must remember in Medina Munawwara, there were Fuqaha'i Sab'a, that is Sayyid bin Musayyab and all of them. So not Ta'amulu Ahlil Madina, don't mean just what ignorant people, what the ulama and the fuqaha and the giants of Medina used to practice on. So that is the practice of the people of Medina Munawwara. So in the Maliki works, it's called Amalu Ahlil Madina or Ta'amulu Ahlil Madina, and especially the Fuqaha'i Sab'a, the 7 great outstanding jurists of Medina Munawwara, what they would do. So sometime when you study Maliki fiqh, then you will find when we ask Imam Malik rahimahullah a dalil, I'll give you one wonderful incident now. So you must remember, then he will say that I accept this because this is the amal and the ta'amul, the regular practice of the people of Medina. So I told you that I'll give you a wonderful incident. One day, Khalifa, you must remember this also. From these great schools, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Imam Malik rahimahullah, they went through two Khilafats, two dynasties, call it. That the Umayyad dynasty and the Abbasid dynasty. First Imam Abu Hanifa, that first was the Umayyad dynasty, and then the change came, Abbasid dynasty. Same thing with Imam Malik rahimahullah. So Imam Malik interacted lot with the Abbasids and so forth. So anyway, Khalifa Harun Rashid's time. So Khalifa Harun Rashid is based there in Baghdad. So he used to come for Umrah, for Hajj, whatever. Then he's in Medina Munawwara. So even the Khalifa, the ruler at that time, they had that zawk, they had that shock, they had that inclination, zeal, enthusiasm. Let's have some nice academic discussion. So lo and behold, this side is his chief justice. Who's his chief justice? Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, the greatest student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And other side is Imam Malik, rahimahullah. So now Khalifa Harun Rashid is there. The scholars are there, the fuqaha and the muhaddisin and the awam, the public, everybody. So first day, point of discussion, when must we make sajda-e sahu? See? So when must we make sajda-e sahu? So the question was posed to Imam Abu Yusuf. If a person made a mistake, take easy example. A person is reading 3 rakat salat, like Maghrib salat and that, 4 rakat salat, like Zohar, Asr, Isha. So Zohar, Asr, Isha. And he missed out Qa'da Ula, the first sitting. So everybody agrees you must make Sajdah so. But how do you perform the Sajdah so? So Imam Abu Yusuf, Rahimahullah, said, Qazi Abu Yusuf, that you sit for Tashahud At-Tahiyyah. And thereafter you make the salam to the right hand side, and thereafter you perform the 2 sajda, and your sajda sahu will be ba'da salam. So that means ba'da salam. You make 1 salam and then you make the 2 sajda. Then you repeat the tashahud at-tahiyyat. Then you read the durood sharif, salawat al-nabiyul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You make the dua, recite the dua, and then the salam. So that is, you must remember the Imam Abu Yusuf, the Hanafi way. When they asked Imam Malik rahimahullah, so he said, al-qafu bil-qaf wal-dalu bil-dal. Al-qafu bil-qaf wa-dalu bil-dal. So obviously this is code language. The awam, the public, what they will understand, they will understand. So before anybody could ask him what it means, he explained it. Al-qafu bil-qaf. So you must remember, if qaf, the first qaf, refers to nuqsan. So if there was a deficiency, like the example I gave, you missed out something. So now you missed out qa'adai ula. So then you must make the sajda-e so, al-qafu bil-qaf, qabl as-salam. So the second qaf will mean qabl. And the first qaf will mean nuqsan, the qaf, the nuqsan. So how you make it qabla salam? You read tashahud, and thereafter you must remember you read salawat al-durud sharif, dua. And before you make salam, you just say Allahu Akbar, and you make 2 sajdas, and then salam. So that is qabla salam, okay? So that is ad-dalu bid-dal, when they ziyada. Then ziyada, you see the dal in the ending. Then it is ba'das salam. So like the Hanafi way. Say a person made 3 sajdas, a person made 2 rukus. So it's a mistake. So now in a case like that, him should perform the sajda sahu ba'das salam. So we understood the term now? It's called al-qafu bil-qaf, wa-dalu bid-dal. That is the code word for it. So now the people said, fine. Now Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, asked him, that is, you must remember Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Oh, Imam Udar al-Hijra, you are a senior, you're a great scholar, everything. But what happens to a person, fi salatin wahida, in one salat, there is ziyada and nuqsan. The person after 2 rakats did not sit, meaning that remember he missed his qada ula, and he went to the 3rd rakat in the 3 rakat salat like Maghrib, or 4 rakat salat like Zohar, Asr, Isha, and the ziyada, he made an extra sajda or something. Then when will he perform sajda tilawat? Sajda iso. When will he perform sajda iso? So Fasakata Malik, Imam Malik kept quiet. So some people started laughing. And so he, Imam Malik, said, Hadha jaza'u mallam yamut ma aqranihi. This is the punishment for people who don't die with their contemporaries, because he was well in his 80s now. So you must remember that. So day one, victory to Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. Next day, Khalifa Harun Rashid says, we must discuss the saw, you know, Sadaqatul Fitr, all that weight that you use, you must remember to calculate the Sadaqatul Fitr and so forth and so on and all that. So they ask Imam Abu Yusuf, what you say? He say, this saw we use. So that saw is Samaniya to Artal. So you must remember 3.5 kilos, 3.25 kilos, like that. So what the Hanafis normally say, like that. So when they ask Imam Malik rahimahullah, he said, no. We say khamsatu artalin wa thuluthu ritlin. And what is my dalil? See all this here, that these are the awlad and the children of Sahaba, the grandchildren of Sahaba. Each one of them from their jubba, they took out the sa. Hada sa'un Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was, that is 2.25 kilo plus minus, like that. So then wa raja'a Abu Yusuf ila qawli Malik. So same time, that is knowledge. So he said, I withdraw and I accept what Malik says and so forth. So what I'm trying to prove, that Imam Malik used to use Amalu Ahlil Madina, the Ta'amul. So you must remember, what was the regular practice of the Fuqaha and the scholars, and then the public obviously will follow that. So that is unique to the Maliki school. Another thing you will find in the Maliki school, he had Al-Masalih Al-Mursala. That is, that you look for the goodness of the ummah, the betterment of the ummah. That, for example, new issues keep on coming up. Islam is not a dead religion, Allah forbid, it's a living religion. And we have to give solutions for all situations. So the solutions must come. So he would go, he would look, discuss with others and so forth. And then he would say, we say this is jais, permissible, min masalih al-mursala. So you must remember that is. He also used to accept, like the Hanafis, istihsan. So you must, that is khilafi qiyas, you know, that is against the normal logic and so forth and so on. So like that, you will find the Maliki fiqh, you must remember, is fascinating. So much so, a scholar of our time, who we know we studied there and all that, Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafizahullah wrote, I read it myself in one of his books, and that he wrote that, when I wrote, you know, that commentary on Bukhari Sharif, on Kitabul Buyu and all these things, he said the amount of juz'iyat, the finer details, I found in the Maliki school in Kitabul Buyu, I did not find in any school, nor in the Hanafi, Shafi, Hanbali, none of them. So in certain things, you must remember, they're very, very unique. That is the Maliki school and so forth. And therefore, Allah accepted him, his ikhlas, his sincerity. It's written in the halat, you must remember, in the biography of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Somebody asked him, O Malik, you writing kitabs, you writing this kitab, hadith kitab, the muwatta, whatever, this kitab, others are writing. What was his answer? Look at the ikhlas. I just give you two incidents. He said, the person who writes and does for Allah's sake, Allah will let his work stay for many, many years and centuries. And those who didn't do for that, Allah will let their works perish. And that's what happened. So many books were written. Most of them, half of them have perished. We don't even know. Naam nishan nahi, as we say in Urdu. That we don't even know who wrote it, where is the book, nothing. And so forth. If you go to Iraq, just to digress for a minute, before the war of the shaitans, the B&B, Bush and Blair, and all the satanic people, war criminals, Iraq, you must remember, had the greatest amount of makhtutat, had the greatest amount of manuscripts regarding tafsir, regarding hadith, regarding fiqh, regarding Arabic literature. From the time of the Abbasid dynasty, they ruled for more than 525 years. And these people bombing, thing. They destroyed everything, you must remember. So these are the shaitans, you must remember that. And even in the Abbasite time, when Halaku Khan and them came, they destroyed so many things. So that is the tragedy of this ummah. But still, Allah Ta'ala always creates and, you know, gives opportunity arises. You will find scholars who save the day for the ummah, and then everything is recovered in one way or the other, and so forth. So that is all Mighty Allah's system, and so forth. See, I give you another incident. Ikhlas of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. One day, Khalifa Harun Rashid, he told Imam Malik, rahimahullah, I want to do three things. I want to do three things. Imam Malik said what? He said, I want to appoint the Imam of Masjid Nabawi, Imam Nafi, you know, the big Qarisab, you see. He said, no, you can't do that. So he got a shock of his life, but he's the biggest Qari. He said, that's the reason you can't appoint him as the Qari, as the Imam of Masjid Nabawi. Because when he reads wrong also, people will say, but maybe this is one of the Qirat and so forth. So nobody will want to then correct him and rectify him. So therefore, this is Imam al-Qurra Nafi bin Abdul Rahman, who passed away in the year 169. So you must remember that. He said, no, I don't allow. So he finished, you can't. Second one, he told him, O Malik, you are A'lamun Nas, you are the greatest person in the scholar of fiqh hadith in your time. I'm going to take the Quran Sharif, one side, and we put it on the Kaaba Musharrafa. On the other side, I'm going to put your book, Mu'tah Malik, and place it on the Kaaba Musharrafa. And then the people must follow Quran Sharif and Mu'tah. Imagine if it's a person like me and you. We will be, you know, excited, elated, and delighted. Imam Malik said, you got no right to do this. Because before me, the Sahaba, they all had different opinion on something issues, and there were other great scholars, they had the first. Now you want to impose that everybody must just follow my, no, you can't do that. Now what you call that? You will call that the ikhlas and the sincerity of Imam Malik, rahimahullah. Then Imam Khalifa Harun Rashid told him that you see this Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, that in time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it had one door and it was high. So like that. So I want to change it now to the tamanna, to the desire of Nabi alayhi salam. The desire was two doors, one for dukhul, one for khuruj, one for entry, one for exit, and both must be low, as Abdullah bin Zubair did, and so forth, radiallahu anhuma. So he, Imam Malik, said, you kings and you rulers, the one king come, he does this, one does. The azma and the respect and the reverence and the all that of the Baytullah, you will make it disappear. I give fatwa, nobody must. We all, the entire ummah is indebted to Imam Malik, rahimahullah. From that time, nobody touched. Yes, governments came, but the basic structure still remained the same. So that is because of his barakah, of ikhlas and so forth. So that is how Allah Ta'ala accepts them. You must remember this. But similarly, you must remember they go through difficult times as well. You know, in life, if you study each one of the four schools, you must remember they had to go to jail and so many things had to happen to them and so forth. So Imam Malik, rahimahullah, as I told you, that he was in that time where you must remember that, you know, there's rulers that they would come. So Imam Malik's fatwa was, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya Nawarullah wrote this, that salat according to Imam Malik rahimahullah, khalf al-fasiq, a person who openly commits sins and vices and all that, salat is batil. And if you want the reference of this, open muqaddama of Ojazul Masalik, is null and void. So some of these rulers, they were open fasiq, you know. So then when this message went out and all all these type of things. So he used to say that, no, you can't do this and all these type of things. So what happened was that Imam Malik rahimahullah, so in a case like that, that Khalifa Mansur and them, they took, you know, so bay'ah from the people. Imam Malik said that was ijbaran and it was coercion involved and so forth. So during that time there, Imam Malik was called, and you must remember by Mansur and by Ja'far bin Sulaiman, the wali, the governor was Ja'far bin Sulaiman, and then he used to be whooped and lashed so much so that he couldn't even lift up his hands. Therefore, some ulama wrote that the Maliki Mazhab got irsal. Irsal means you leave your hands on the side, because Imam Malik could not even raise up his hands. And when he was being whooped, he used to say, Allahumma ghfir lahum fa innahum la ya'lamun. Ya Allah, you forgive them that they do not know what they are doing. This is kamal of a person, and that enhances his izzat even more and more and more. And if you want a reference of this, open Siru A'lam in Nubala and you will find all the details. In the ending, you must remember, they came to ask for maaf in that, but the fact remained, the damage was done. You must remember that. So for us, it is food for thought, you know. Imam Malik rahimahullah went to jail, and because he stood up against the so-called Muslim rulers, and he said, Salat khalf al-fasiq, people openly commit vices and sin, Salat behind them is null and void and so forth. So we should not just be reading this as entertainment and something, we should take lesson from all this.
Mufti Sahib, are there any other books famous from the Maliki Madhab?
So you must remember, the most famous book of Imam Malik is the Muwatta Imam Malik. You must remember that. So that in time of Khalifa Mansur's time, so you must remember, after all this happened, and so then it was told to him, you know, that why don't you write a book on hadith and so forth, where we have the Masail and the Sahaba and so forth. So during the time of Mansur, he started writing it. But remember, Mansur died and passed away and so forth. So then he concluded the book, you must remember, afterwards and so forth. So this is Imam Malik, that was the reason ended. Why is it called Muwatta? So you must remember, he says, I presented this book of hadith of mine to 70 fuqaha and scholars and so forth, and they all agreed with me. So Muwatta means muttafaq. So it means people who agreed with me, they concurred with me, and therefore the name is called Muwatta Malik and so forth and so on. And we must remember that Imam Shafi rahimahullah used to say, this Imam Shafi, I told you just now what he said of Imam Malik. He said, Asahul Kutub Ba'da Kitabillah, the best book you can find after Quran Sharif is Muwatta Malik. So even because you must remember, they came before Bukhari and all of them. So afterwards the ulama, then they said Sahihul Bukhari. But Imam Shafi's opinion was this, that the greatest book is this Muwatta Malik and so forth. So Imam Malik rahimahullah chose from 100,000 ahadith, you must remember, he chose this here. And Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Mona Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu wrote in his commentary Ojazul Masalik, there are 1,720 ahadith that are mentioned there. And it's translated in English, a good translation. We don't agree with this person on many issues, but what is true we have to say, I got the copy of it. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Sufi, I met him personally also, he passed away I think recently. So you must remember that, and it was supervision under him. So the translation is very good, meaning that good English and all that. Sometimes people write, Allah alone knows what they write and all these type of things. So you know there are great, great commentaries, you must remember, written on Muwatta Malik and so forth. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahimullah, he wrote Musaffa and so forth. And you must remember Qazi Ayaz and them also wrote. And so many other people. I met a Maliki scholar, mashallah, there in Makkah Mukarramah, Sheikh Alawi Al-Maliki. Our ulama of Indo-Pak had great contact with him and his father. So I used to go sit in his dars and all that. It's ajeeb dars going on. So he used to teach and videos, video and everything. So video for them, they don't worry, obviously. But people will come and kiss him and they talk and the dars is going on and all these type of things. So that that is how the dars was. You know, I used to wonder also, but anyway, so he gave me a copy of Mu'tta Malik. So this copy we use now is Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi's copy. So he gave me another student's copy, which I still have by me. So when you study hadith, then you must always do this, get the different copies of the kitab. You must remember this. Now today, I mean, you know, sometimes I ask the students that you're studying Dora. They say, I say this Bukhari Sharif, which copy are you using? Never mind the answer, you never even understood the question. Understood? So this, so it's a weakness in our system, you know. So these are things, you know, there's a, I don't want to use the term, but among the Orientalists, you must remember, there's a person, James Robson. He wrote so many books on this, you know, that how all these books, who are the students whose copies we have today? So Bukhari's we have Farabri, and Mu'tta Imam Malik we have Laythi. So he has written books on all this. So these are things the teacher, when you start the kitab, you know, you must teach the students that which copy. So Imam Bukhari was teaching 100,000 students. So Imam Malik was teaching thousands of students. So the which student's copy is the one that is maqbool nowadays and accepted and so. So therefore you will find there's a thing called ikhtilaf and nusakh, different copies and editions and so forth and so on. So it's very important if you want to make tahqiq and go into research. If you speak of the Maliki fiqh, you must remember the greatest work till today, they all agree, is Al-Mudawwanatul Kubra. So this is another thing, that of every mazhab you must know which is their most famous book. If you ask the Hanafi scholars for fatawa and verdict and so forth, so which book you want, so they will tell you Shami, or they will tell you Fatawa Alamgiri. Our ulama call Fatawa Alamgiri, the Arab ulama call Fatawa Al-Hindiya, like that and so forth. So these are important things we should know, you know. But today Allah knows best, Allah give hidayat, you must remember that. So what weakness we see in a system, we must try and improve on that and bring it in our system and so forth. So when the student graduate and come out, it's not just Subhanallah, bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, and then we give him a big certificate. And no, they must know these basic things as well. So when these enemies of Islam object on us, so we can give good answers. Qul hadhihi sabili ad'u ilallah ala basiratin. So this is basira, that we ourselves must have that firm conviction that what we have is the best of the best, and we must share it with the rest and so forth. And inshallah, that I just want to speak about a little bit of Mu'tta Malik and so forth. So you must remember the commentaries that are nowadays, you will find great commentaries by great people and so forth. So you must remember, I'll just mention few, yeah, because of time and that. And then I want to speak about the Maliki mazhab. So Maliki mazhab, you must remember, it spread. Where it spread, you must remember, in Andalus. We've been to Andalus, Muslim Spain. So Subhanallah, Allama Qurtubi, and all of them, they were Maliki scholars. You must remember this. So there in the West, you must remember the call. So is Maliki fiqh was raij. It was 100% there. That is what they used to use. And then you come here in North Africa, you come to West Africa, all that, you will find till today, you must remember the Maliki school. See, I teach you one masla. When I went to Morocco, I was in Darul Bayda. You know, that's why I love to go all these places. Always you learn, you know. So it was a Friday. So I went to that masjid, that half of it is there on the land and next to the ocean and so that. Very, very beautiful and so forth. So anyway, so they gave 3 azans. So I was amazed, you know. So at first I read Salat, so many countries and all these things there for Jummah. And we know there's 2 azan. So there they gave 3 azan. So after that I went, I saw some sheikhs and I asked them. They said, no, according to the Malikis, we give 3. Then I went there to the university and all that, you know. So mashallah, and I asked them, the oldest university in the world, you will find the Qayrawan. So it's the, in the whole world, world is the oldest. And likewise, when I went to Tunisia, then in Jamia Zaytuna that I went, I asked them also. He said, it's right. I just wanted to confirm. So you see, when you travel, so you find all these ajaib, you understood? So we think now what these people are up to. But that is the Maliki school. For Jummah, they'll give 3 azans. You must remember that. One early azan, and then the azan, and then one by the minbar, like that, and so forth. So 3 azans they give like that. So this is what you learn. So the Maliki mazhab till today is spreading in different parts of the world. We must remember that as well. Then the commentaries, you must remember, of Mu'tah Imam Malik. So the first one is, you must remember, by Hafiz Allama Ibn Abdul Barr. So if you study him also, he is also from them, the Andalus ulama. So At-Tamhid it is called. So you must remember the easy name, Tamhid. It's a long name, but just Tamhid, the ulama call it, and so forth and so on. So second one he wrote, you must remember, that Kitabul Istizkar. So you must remember also regarding Mu'tah Malik and so forth. Same. Hafiz Ibn Abdul Barr, you must remember. So subhanallah, see the work he did and all that. So that Tamhid was very long, and this is the Mukhtasar of it, like a concise and summarized version of it and so forth. Then you must remember Qazi Abu Bakr Ibn Arabi. So he also wrote, you must remember, Ashara on, you understood, Mu'tah Malik and so forth. I told you, Shah Waliyullah Rahimahullah wrote Al-Musaffa. This is in Farsi language, Persian language, by Shah Waliyullah Rahimahullah. Shah Waliyullah passed away in the year 1172. So, you know, Hijrah we're speaking about, obviously. So this is Shah Waliyullah and them, the work they left, subhanAllah, is a pity, like people like me, and we don't know Farsi, you know. So Farsi was mashallah. And for us, you know, because what we need simple books to read. And nowadays, subhanAllah, you go and see Ojazul Masalik. So Hazrat Sheikh Nawar Allah Marqadahu, Hazrat Muhammad Zakaria, Ojazul Masalik ila Mu'tah Malik, you must remember, is the title. The Maliki scholars used to come there. I saw myself when we used to visit Sheikh in there. And they used to kiss Sheikh's hand, Hazrat Sheikh's hand. And sometime they would say, we whole life we're learning Maliki fiqh, but certain things you have mentioned there in the Mu'tah, we never even knew about it. You understood? So you must remember. So this is the greatness of a scholar. He's 100% Hanafi scholar. That is Hazrat Sheikh. His last itikaf was in South Africa, 1981. We were present there with Allah's mercy, the last week and all that. And then in 1982, and the first of Shaban, Hazrat Sheikh Hazrat Muhammad Zakaria passes away, Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, there in Medina, and is buried. And is buried right in front, where the Sahaba buried, the Ahle Bayt are buried. This is another distinction. They are love for Nabi alayhi salam. I told you before, when Sheikh used to read Salat in Salat, I saw myself. He used to spend 2.5-3 hours, not inside the masjid, outside. From there, he used to read Salat and Salam. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya ayyuhal muzammil. He would read the whole surah Muzammil. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya ayyuhal muddathir. He would read the whole surah Muddathir. Me and you, we just read 2 minutes, 1 minute, we're tired, we're like, astaghfirullah. So that is how you become a scholar. That's the Sheikh Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. So he wrote this. So for us in this day, this age, it's best you use that work, Ojazul Masalik. So this is a brief, I understand. There's many more things, but these are the important aspects. And yeah, today, tonight, inshallah, we must scan the sky. And for the Rabiul Awwal moon, and it's 29 hours. And remember, once it will be announced and all that, say, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin is mentioned in Abu Dawud. Ya Allah, make this month a month of khair, of goodness, and rushdin, righteousness. Again, we start with Malik. Let's end off with Malik. When you study the halat and the biography of Imam Malik, whenever it was the beginning, you call in Arabic ghurratu shahr, the beginning of the month, then he used to exert himself. He used to go the extra mile. His students would ask him, why, Ustad, you do this? He said, because if the beginning of the month goes well, then the whole month will go well. So tonight, abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan, all that. Quickly, let me run through the program here. Our brother Yusuf Ali will render the news, inshallah. Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam, 12 to 1, by Mohan Abdul Rahman, Saluji, 1 o'clock Adhan, then 1:05 to 1:30 trip to Durban, the report back, it's a repeat, 1:30 to 2 Surah Hud, verses 84 to 87 from the archives, 2 to 3 Madrasa on Air Mona Zaid Khan, 3 to 3:30 repeat of the Q&A of this morning, 3:30 to 4, that is that Maulana Inamul Hassan, this is Hazrat Ji, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, so the tabliq work, you know, all that Hazrat MashaAllah was Waliullah. Then you must remember 4 to 5 Paradise and the Bounties of Jannah Mufti Mangera, 5 to 7 will be Maulana Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30 will be last week's khutbah, that was Sheikh Sudais, and 7:30 to 8 Maulana Yunus Patel, and 8 to 10 Maulana Arafat and Maulana Salim Karim, inshallah, the discussion, and 10 to 11 Maulana Ridwan Qaji of regarding Salahuddin Ayyubi, inshallah. So now we go to the news. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahab and to all our listeners. If we go into the news, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.